This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
I always like talking to Andy Martino because he is locked in.
He is.
He is SNY's MLB insider. And to read Andy Martino's latest column, which I did, on the Mets GM search, go to SNY.tv. You can also see Andy at 6 o'clock tonight on SNY's Baseball Night in New York, talking about all the latest news from around the diamond. And Andy joins us now. Andy, Michael, Don, and Peter, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing well. So I read your column with interest, and you're kind of like, you're kind of expressing, you know, pump the brakes. It's not that big of a deal. That they haven't found anybody yet. But let me throw this at you with all due respect. I mean, the baseball offseason might be compressed into November 6th to December 1st. If there's a lockout, people might not be able to sign anybody until March at some point. So don't you think there's some urgency there to get some kind of decision-making in place before the end of the World Series?
Yeah, Michael, I think what I was reacting to there a little bit was the breathless coverage, whether it be some colleagues and many fans, all due respect to everybody's passion, that Matt Arnold, for example, the Brewers general manager, was a must-have all of a sudden, and it's a crisis that they can't get him, and why are the Mets not attracting anyone? And I do think there's some aspect to this, as you guys well know, that when any team goes through a process of vetting and interviewing some people for hiring, we just don't hear about it as much, but I have to compete against the Joel Shermans and the Mike Pumas and the, everyone else of the world where we just find out this stuff more because it's an intensive environment. I think it creates a perception that they're striking out, which each case is individual, and in some cases they have, but I think that taking down the temperature on the crisis mode was the right thing. Of course, I thought it was the right thing. I expressed the opinion, but you know, I just feel a little breathless on Twitter and overall, and you know, to your question, Michael, I certainly don't deny that the Mets need to get their front office structure in place long term, but I do think that there's some people are forgetting that what they have now can get them through the next couple of months. And Sandy Alderson, obviously, hardly perfect, no one is, but a venerable MLB executive who's now their acting GM. They've made analytics hires. They have an amateur scouting department that Steve Cohen inherited and likes. I mean, they have the infrastructure of an organization to make things like qualifying offer decisions. Javi Baez is very interested in coming back to Queens. You're telling me that that's not an ownership decision anyway?
Right.
There are things that they can do right now and instead of making a hire in a hurry because the public wants them to. I think back on when the Guggenheim Group bought the Dodgers, they inherited Ned Colletti, who was never going to be their GM. But he was there a year or two until they could get Andrew Friedman. I just think here we tend to get caught up in the moment sometimes and forget that, you know what, they could build a roster for next year, and they can figure this out, and they have people in place. And when the right person becomes available, like, let me throw a bomb in the conversation, Brian Cashman in a year, maybe they can think about something like that.
Yeah, I guess coming from a Met fan perspective like I am, Andy, it does seem like, well, it's typical Mets. They can't find a guy. And I don't mind how long it takes, and you outline things perfectly. I think what I get concerns most Met fans is this still an attractive job? It's just unfortunate circumstances have caused these guys to fall by the wayside, that they're not in the situation they're in because nobody wants to work for Steve, or they're afraid that Sandy is going to be hovering like a ghost above everything that they do. As long as that's not factual, I'm cool with it. But can you tell me that what I said is not true, that it is an attractive job? Sandy's not a problem and Cohen's not a problem.
Don, there's a perception there that definitely is an issue. So you're not wrong to wonder about those things. I take them separately. Certainly, there are concerns about working for Steve Cohen that other executives around the league have expressed. I mean, it's been my job to speak either to the people who are in the mix or to people who know them or talk to them, get a feel for this. And yes, you got a new guy here. You got he tweets. He's got this history in business that people have questions about. Like, all those things are real. They're not necessarily unresolvable. The flip side of that is that there's maybe a risk aversion to, hey, you're the comfortable assistant GM in a smaller market. Maybe stay there instead of come here and, you know, go big or go home. You know, either you win and it's great or it's a disaster and there's some risk aversion there. But people have questions about Cohen. And there's certainly chatter in the industry among younger executives about Alderson's presence, too. Like, am I really, do I have autonomy? Is Alderson hovering? Those kinds of things are definitely legitimate. I would say factually, I remember getting to know Zach Scott, the acting GM, last year, and he was very clear, and I think truthful, that Sandy Alderson was more than happy to step away and delegate. Sandy Alderson did not come back here in his 70s to be a general manager. He came back to be an overseer of a transitional time in the organization. And that, I'll give you a specific example, the Baez trade. I don't think Alderson makes that trade. That's not a Sandy Alderson trade. That's a Zach Scott trade. Sandy Alderson said, you're running baseball ops, I'm not, make your trade. And that's how it will go. And, you know, Sandy Alderson's not here for 10 years anyway. So I think that although that is something that is cited among potential candidates, I think that if they were to dig on that, it wouldn't actually be an issue for them.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Did it ever cross your mind that earlier this season, when it seemed like there was one scandal sort of hitting the Mets after another, a year ago, whatever it was now, and there were all these sort of culture issues, do you think there was any conversation about moving on from Sandy then? Because to me, what struck me was if they're trying to move forward and they have new ownership and we're now hearing of this tough past, it seems like the one person connected to that past is the person that they've brought in to help move them to the future.
I think what Steve Cohen sees, that's a good question. I can't speak, Peter, to whether or not he ever wondered that privately. But what I hear, what I understand that he sees this as is the Mets were under different ownership at that time. There's a lot of different things going on. Sandy Alderson was the baseball general manager. I do think that's forgotten sometimes. He wasn't the president of the organization. He wasn't the overseer of the human resources department or this or that. You know, did things go on when he was here that later came out that some cases were probably surprising to him? Yeah, absolutely. And not everything has been a good look. But I do not believe, just my reporting, not my opinion, that Steve Cohen believes that those things are all on, or even largely on Sandy Alderson, because they did, you know, they paid an independent firm to do a review of this and they believe that their culture issues do not, you know, there's that phrase, the fish rots from the head. I do not believe that Steve Cohen thinks that applies to Sandy Alderson in this case. That's my reporting.
Andy Martino, SNY's MLB insider, joins us here on the Michael K. Show. In your column on SNY.TV, I kind of got the sense that the Zach Scott era is not officially over. Is there a chance he could come back?
I think there's a chance. He's very much in limbo. Look, he made a mistake, and he's dealing with the legal fallout of that. I do think, like I can tell you, Michael, that they're talking to and vetting, not talking to at this moment, but vetting and considering other potential youngish GM types. And Zach Scott's in that pool. So at a certain point, if his legal situation is resolved favorably, you're in the middle of a lockout and you haven't made that hire yet. Well, at a certain point, you have to ask yourself, well, at what point do you consider him? Now, they're not there yet. They may not get there. But before he made that mistake, they were happy with his work. And now, you could have a whole side conversation over whether they should be or shouldn't be, or whether he was doing the job enough to get a fair evaluation. But he's still employed there. You know, he's on administrative leave. They have not fired him. They could have fired him. We'll see. It's legitimately a question, I think, that they probably go back and forth on, and in some ways depends on this search. But if it's December or January, and you're like, well, we could hire this guy hypothetically from the Twins, or this guy from the Rangers, but we know Zach Scott, he did a pretty good job, you know, then maybe the mindset does go to that. But we're not there yet.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Now, in the Daily News today, Deshar Thosar, who covers the Mets for them, reported that, you know, Steve Cohen is seeking counsel from Chris Christie. And you kind of like, mm-hmm. about about this job, you scratch your head and go, what? Why? I know that Chris Christie is a powerful politician, but what does he have to do with baseball? Is Chris Christie part of this?
Well, you know, as I'm sure you guys do know, Chris Christie's on the board of the Mets,
right.
And that is a significant job. There's only a few people who are on the Mets board, and he knows Steve Cohen. Steve Cohen chose to put him on the board. There's a relationship there. I'm not commenting on what's been reported, but just saying that my understanding of that relationship is, yeah, there's a relationship between Chris Christie and Steve Cohen. Sandy Alderson is the president of the team and is empowered to be the president of the team right now, but Chris Christie's part of the Mets.
Do you think that the Mets would hire a manager before they get anybody in place above?
Well, the way we're talking about this, Michael, this search and the way that they're sort of emphasizing that we don't have to be in a hurry, we don't have to be reactive. Yeah, at a certain point, someone has to write the lineup next year, right?
Yes.
So they do have to get into that conversation if they haven't already. They have to, they have a pitching coach. They're making decisions. They're soon going to make a decision one way or the other on the qualifying offer guys. So, the manager could become part of that mix. And I know things are different, but I kind of go back to that analogy I made before with Nick Coletti and even Don Mattingly there, and the whole the leadership with the Dodgers. They were very, very competitive in the playoffs for several years without new owners choosing their guys and having it all in place. And I think that as far as what's going on right now with the Mets, and yeah, at some point they'll need to get a manager, it could sort of end up looking like that a little bit. Now, there are still candidates out there. There's still the Matt Arnolds of the world that we haven't identified their names yet. And if one of these guys pops up as the GM in a week or two, then that guy hires the manager, or man or woman hires the manager.
Is it fair to say, Andy, that Attanasio, the owner of the Brewers, just doesn't like Cohen? I read that he was one of the people that voted against him buying the Mets, and he has denied him twice to talk to people. That's a little unusual. It's not out of left field, but it is a little unusual to deny a GM the opportunity to talk about president of baseball operations. Is there a real rupture between Attanasio and Cohen?
I can't say that definitively that there is. I agree with you that although owners don't have to grant permission, obviously they typically do. I've heard that Attanasio does have a thing about, why is New York a promotion from Milwaukee and those kind of thoughts, but I can't say that there's a personal problem between the two of them. It looks like Matt Arnold played this pretty well, if you look at it from the outside, because he reportedly has an extension there based off of a request for permission and not even a conversation with the Mets. So it might just be keeping your people, who you think are good people, whether it goes beyond that. I've heard speculation, but I couldn't say for sure.
You know, one final thing, Andy. Maybe I'm crazy. I think all of these people that are like, shying away from this job, they're out of their mind. I mean, you got an owner that's mm-hmm. worth $14 billion. You got a team and a fan base that's hungry to win. You've got a top-flight ballpark, and anything you do is going to be better than what they've done of late. Why is everybody afraid to take this job? You look around the NFL, some of these GMs work for owners that are horrible people. And people are just drawing the line at Steve Cohen. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
You know, I was talking to, not that recently, Michael, but talking to Brian Cashman about this, and he said that he had a conversation with Theo Epstein at some point over the last 2 years where they were looking at each other, like all of a sudden they look around and they're the older guys, and they're like, why are all these kids so risk-averse? No one will make a trade that's bold. No one will do it. It's all about efficiency. It's all about getting your next contract. I mean, I'm generalizing a little bit, but there seems to be a culture among younger executives that is very risk-averse, and that extends for we're never trading our prospects all the way to I'm not moving my family to take this job. And I agree with you, Michael. The way I look at it, the best case scenario of this is that you lead the Mets to a championship and become a hero. The worst case scenario is you do this for 4 years, you're miserable, and you walk away with tons of Steve Cohen's money after it doesn't work out. That's the low end of this, right? I mean, Phil Jackson with the Knicks, that's like the worst case scenario. Phil Jackson obviously made a lot of money from that unsuccessful time. So I agree. I think it's a good job. I don't think it's a perfect job. I think that if your kids are in school somewhere and you like your owner and you respect people that have those thoughts. In fact, that's what Billy Beane told me. He didn't want to take the job because he couldn't justify it to his daughters who were freshmen in high school. And like, I'm already rich. I can't. I'm not doing this to put food on the table. It's just for my ego. So, you know, there's some of that. But I agree that someone should want this job. And ultimately, someone will.
You know what, Andy? There's another phrase for rich, risk-averse. Gutless. They're gutless. That's what they are. You don't even want those guys. If they're so afraid to come to New York and be great, you don't want them.
That's right. You don't. And that's something that's part of this vetting process, I think, for Alderson and Cohen. I think they understand that. And to them, if you don't want to be here, they don't want you, and they don't feel like they need to win the back pages tomorrow with some hire just to shut everybody up because of that reason. They're not going to beg someone to come to New York. You're right. You have to want it.
Good stuff, Andy. As always, I follow you to find out what's going on with everything. So thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
All right. His latest column, SNY.TV. You can see Andy at 6 p.m. on SNY's Baseball Night in New York talking about all the latest news from around the diamond.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.